Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Well, I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning and I walked outside and saw the beautiful skies and I thought, what a perfect resurrection morning. Amen. I just want to wish very quickly Atwell and Sister Jackson, Uniform Jackson, happy birthday. Sister Jackson, happy birthday to y'all. And Atwell, happy birthday. Well, two Fridays ago, we as a church went to Jester State Prison. And there have been a group of men, including Carol Vance and others, who've been going on Tuesday nights for, I think, like 25 plus years. And we saw 25 men out of about 600 men that we had a chance to minister to and love on come to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so here's the thing about these men who are incarcerated at Jester 3, and I've done ministry in the county jail and in the prisons across Texas, is that many of these men and women who are incarcerated, they understand this word used in the Bible called condemnation, to be condemned. They understand that word because they know that word means that when you are guilty of breaking the law, that there are consequences. When you're guilty of breaking the law, there's a penalty that comes with that. And part of that is separation. They're separated from their loved ones. They're separated from their families. And that's why we go out every year around Easter time, resurrection time, and Christmas, because we know it's a very difficult time for them because they're separated from family. And so many of these men and women, fundamentally, because of the state of where they are, understand this word known as condemnation. But here's the thing. For many of us, we really don't understand that word because we've never been perhaps incarcerated, never been in jail. But here's the thing I want to share with you this morning and why we celebrate the resurrection. Many of the men and women who are incarcerated, who are in county jail, or who are in prison, are freer than those on the outside. Did y'all know that? Because here's the thing, that we collectively all have broken God's laws, God's standards. And Jesus said it this way in John 3:17, not 3:16. John 3:17, Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn the world. You know why? Because the world is already condemned. And so the men and women, our brothers and sisters behind bars who put their faith in Christ, fundamentally understand what it means to be guilty of breaking the law. But here's the good news of the resurrection. Why do we get all dressed up? Why do we have praise dancers? Why do we sing? Why do we wear a pink shirt and pink bunny ears on this day? It's because we celebrate the resurrection because it's about freedom from condemnation. When I was rehearsing that in my mind, like I was expecting a lot more like, amen, preach, pastor, like that's why we celebrate the resurrection, because it's all about condemned men and women now experiencing freedom. If you have your notes here, take your notes out. We're going to be very brief this morning, but I just want to go through these notes with you as we start our series called The Greatest Chapter in the Bible. We're going through Romans 8. I invite you to come back next week as we look at what it means to walk in the Spirit and how you can walk as an overcomer. But again, the great news about the resurrection is that people now can experience freedom from condemnation. Here's the bad news. Look at Romans 8:3. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Read that again. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So here's point number one. Here's the bad news. Our good works can't set us free from the power and penalty of sin. Our good works, no matter how good they are, cannot set us free. And this is what Paul is saying. You can keep the Mosaic law. You can keep all the law, which is 613 commandments, he says, but you're unable to do that. There are 613 commandments, laws laid out in the Old Testament, and because of our sinful nature, we are unable to keep those commandments. The Bible says it this way in Romans 3:23, that all of us in here, the word hamartia means to fall short. We miss the mark. We all miss the mark. And what does he say about the penalty and power of sin? Look at letter A. We are born having sin as our master, and that is what's known as the power of sin. Look at the end of verse 2. He says, the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So the first thing that we are bound to is we are bound as having sin as our master. We are all born as slaves to sin. But the second part of verse 2 says, that leads to death. He's not talking just about physical death, because all of us in here will die. What he's talking about is separation from God. That's letter B. Because of our sin, we are separated from God, and this is what's known as the penalty of sin. Because again, all of us miss the mark. We all fall short. That's the bad news. That's the bad news. Let me try to explain it this way. So there are 613 commandments, laws in the Old Testament. So imagine this. Imagine that you and I are at the Grand Canyon. We're at the Grand Canyon. And imagine we're on one side of the Grand Canyon, and on the other side of the Grand Canyon is God. And God says, I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. All you have to do is get to the other side of this canyon. Now, this canyon is 613 feet wide, all right? Imagine Grand Canyon, 613 feet wide, one foot for every commandment. And God says on the other side, I love you. I want to be in a relationship with you. All you have to do is get to this other side. Amen? Y'all with me? Y'all see the picture? God's reaching his arms out to you. Jesus on this side, reaching his arms to you. And he says, I want to have a relationship with you, but this chasm is this. It's your sin. Now, here's the thing. My wife's not here. I'm going to brag on my wife. My wife is a two-time All-American, NCAA All-American. She narrowly missed making the Olympic trials and the long jump and triple jump. At her peak, when we met, and when she was 21, 22, 23 years old, she could long jump 21 feet. All right, 21 feet. She could long jump 21 feet, which means she would run and take off. And I remember the first time we were at SMU, we were training together, and I literally saw my wife's feet at my face. They're like right here, and then she went out into the pit. That's how high she can jump. 21 feet. So she says, all right, I want to be in a relationship with Jesus. So she backs up to the edge of the Grand Canyon, runs as fast as she can, leaps over the edge, trying to make 613 feet, and she makes it 21 feet. Matter of fact, let's give her some wind behind her. She makes it 22 feet, right? And she says, why didn't this happen when I was trying to make the Olympic team, right? But here's the thing. She still falls short. And let's say the great Bob Beamon is there, who long jumped 29 feet, almost 10 yards. Let's say Bob Beamon is there in his prime, and he runs and jumps, and he goes 29 feet, but he still falls short. Let's say you and I try it. Some of us jump 15 feet, some of us 12, some of us maybe 20 feet, but all of us in here fall short. And so here's a God who loves us, who's reaching out to us saying, I want to have a relationship with you, but the problem is, again, our sin. We've all missed the mark. Some of us get farther than others, but all of us in here, we miss the mark. And because of that, again, he says we are under the power of sin. And Jesus said this way in John 8:43, he or she who sins is enslaved to sin. Sin is your master. That's how Jesus says it. So again, you may try to make it, but he says sin keeps you bound, like gravity keeps you bound. You cannot make that 613 feet on your own. I know what some of you are saying, though. I know what some of you are saying. I've read the Old Testament. Some of those Old Testament laws about mixed clothing and some of these Levitical laws, like, that doesn't apply to me. Let's just go then to the Ten Commandments, all right? Let's just go there. How many of you all in here have ever lied? All right, let's back up this way, because I don't want you to confess. I know this is church and all that. Let's see if there's anyone to do it. Let's back it up. How many in here, raise your hand if you have never lied in your life. You've never lied in your life. Raise your hand if you've never borne false witness. Ever, ever, ever. I'll wait. All right. So by that, all of us have broken the 10th commandment of the 10 commandments. I mean, the 9th one of the 9 commandments. How many of y'all have ever done this? Let's back up. Never done this. I forgot. I'm not trying to get y'all guilty and feeling convicted today. Let's back up. How many of you all, your neighbor buys a brand new, you fill in the blank, car that you like, car that you want, or a coworker wears this amazing outfit that you're like, man, I was just looking at that at Dillard's or Macy's, right? And you have said in your, I'm sorry, you've never said in your head, man, I really wish I had that car or that house, or that outfit, or that person's job. How many of y'all in here have never coveted ever. Never coveted. Anybody here ever, never ever coveted before in your life? Never coveted. Never coveted. Anybody? So here's the thing. Jesus says it this way. How many of y'all have never been angry with someone to the point where you called them a fool, and even in your mind, you may have killed them in your mind that you said, I wish they were dead because you were so angry. How many have never done that? Never been angry with someone in your life? Anybody? Never been angry? Anybody in here ever? This is for the fellas. Well, I know women do too. I know some of the women do too. So let's just say it this way. Have ever seen a very attractive man or woman? Very attractive man at work, or even here at City Refuge, or in the community, or you're at the beach, or on vacation. A very attractive man, and you're like, humbugga wugga, right? Ooh, right? That's from the Greek word humbago, right? I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All of us in here, if we're honest with ourselves, have lusted. And Jesus says, you may not have committed adultery, but if you look at a woman or a man and lusted in your heart, he says, you've committed adultery. So you know what? Almost all of us in here have broken at least 4, if not all, the 10 commandments. Amen? And James 2:10 says it this way. You break one, you break them all. And this analogy, again, of the Grand Canyon, 613 feet, whether you jump a foot, whether you jump 22 feet, you miss the mark. You fall short of God's standard. But again, on the other side is a God who loves you. He's reaching out to you. He desires to be in a relationship with you, but our sin, your sin, my sin, gets in the way. Because God is a loving God, but God is also a holy God. He's absolutely perfect. And those of us who are going to be in relationship with him have to be absolutely perfect. And by the show of hands, every one of us has lied. Every one of us has been angry. Every one of us has coveted something. And so we miss the mark. We are not able on our own to be in a relationship with God. This is an analogy I use to say that when my daughter's young, my daughter Grace is here, still cute as ever. When our daughters were born, they were just these cute little babies, and I loved them dearly. Love them dearly, but I'm kind of a neat freak. I hate having like greasy hands or like dirt on my under my fingernails. I just hate that. And so this is what would happen. You know this as parents. My daughters, though I love them, they would have little poopy diapers, all right? They would produce filth. And being the clean freak, the neat freak that I am, even though I love them, I had to separate myself from them because of the filth they produced. Because of the smell they produced. Because when it comes to physical cleanliness, I'm holy. I'm set apart. I can't be around that kind of filth. So here was the issue at hand. Someone had to do something about her filth. Are y'all with me? Someone had to change their diaper. All right? Are y'all with, y'all see the analogy here? And that's what God does with us. God loves us. We're the apple of his eye, and yet he hates the filth that we produce. And so he has to separate himself from us. But here's the good news. Look at verse 3 again. The law of Moses was unable to save us, to deliver us from the power and penalty of sin because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. So God had to take action. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Verse 4, he did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Here's the good news. Point number 2, God sent his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus sets us free. Amen? He says this in verse 4. He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully met. This is the analogy. 613-foot chasm between you and God. You and I may jump 10 feet, 21 feet, 30 feet, but all of us fall short. This is what Jesus did. Jesus jumped the 613-foot chasm on his own. He satisfied God's holy and perfect requirements because he's God. And this is what he's offering today. This is why the inmates at Jester 3 understand something. They understand that if I put my faith in Jesus, Jesus will put me on his back. And he will jump that chasm. He will carry me over. So here's a letter A. There is no more separation from God. There's no more separation from God because of the sacrifice of Jesus on Good Friday, because he died to atone for, pay for, redeem us from our sins. He says there's no more separation from God. Where do I get that from? Look at verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There's no longer the guilt or the penalty or punishment for your sins because of Jesus Christ. There's no longer a separation from your loved one, God, because of Jesus Christ. That word condemnation is the Greek word katakrima, which means this, with milkiness, because we get the English word coffee cream, crema. That's a joke, yeah, y'all missed it. Katakrima means with, crema means judgment. The word crema, we get the English word critic from the word crema, critic. With criticism that you are now able to fully meet God's standard. There's no more condemnation. Isn't that good news? There's no more separation from God because of Jesus Christ. There's now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And then he says this in letter B, there's freedom from having sin as our master. What does it say that? Verse 2, and because you belong to Jesus, there's no condemnation. Also, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power that leads to death. Sin is no longer your master. When you face temptation, you can now, by the power of the Spirit, say, nope, not going to do it. You are now set free from the power of sin. Sin is no longer your master. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. And also, because you can say no to sin, you can now walk and live as an overcomer. So here's the good news for today. Point number 3, trust Jesus today. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says it this way. He says, you and I have been justified by faith. We've been declared innocent, vindicated. We've been acquitted of all charges of breaking the law of God's perfect standard. We've been acquitted, vindicated, set free, declared innocent by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen? We believe, Jesus, you jumped the chasm 613 feet, and by placing my faith in you, you put me on your back, and now your work is counted to me, and now I have a relationship. I'm fully forgiven because of Jesus Christ and simply trusting and placing our faith in him. John 3:16, the verse that your kids are going to learn if you've got kids in kids ministry, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's simply by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And in a moment, as we close in prayer, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that. If you have not put your faith in Christ and you don't know for sure that you've been forgiven and have a relationship with God and know that heaven is your home, in a bit we're going to give you a chance to respond to that. Now here's the thing. Why the resurrection though? If Good Friday paid for our sin, why the resurrection? Why do we dress up and celebrate the resurrection? Why do we have praise dancers and a poem and worship? Why do we all gather? Why are our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka willing to gather even though there was the possibility of terrorist activity? Why do we do that? Because the resurrection, remember the two R's, the resurrection is a receipt. The resurrection is a receipt saying God the Father has accepted the payment of Jesus Christ. If God did not accept Christ's payment, if it was insufficient, if it wasn't enough, Christ would still be in the grave. But because Christ rose again, you and I know that God accepted the payment that Jesus Christ made. So if we put our faith in him, God says, because I've accepted the payment, I now have declared you innocent, not guilty, because I've accepted the payment. Are y'all with me? Isn't that good news? That's why we celebrate the resurrection, because God says, payment accepted. Payment accepted. Let me close with this. Last Sunday, Michael Smith over here, they're moving to Argentina, so we had a little going away party for him. Another family of Sharps are moving as well with their He's a doctor and moving back to, I think, North Carolina. But as we were just having lunch last week, all of the televisions, all of them, were on golf. And I'm thinking, man, the NBA playoffs are on. And you're going to have golf on, right? It was the Masters. And for those of you who watched it, or maybe you saw on social media or saw on the news that night, Tiger Woods won the Masters Championship. He was the Masters champion. And so it was significant. And I wonder, why is this all over the news? Why is this all over social media? Everyone is raving and just foaming at the mouth that Tiger Woods, the Tiger, has won the Masters Championship. And this is why. If you remember the story of Tiger Woods, it has been 11 years since he won a major. It's been 14 years since he won the previous Masters. So it's been 11 years since he won his last major. 14 years since he last won his last Masters championship. In between that, we have publicly seen his fall from grace. We have seen him commit adultery numerous times, be arrested for drunk driving, lose many of his sponsors. He's gone from being on top, now being down in the valley. Are y'all with me? And so we've all witnessed Tiger Woods going from the pinnacle down to the pit, right? And as a matter of fact, in this article I read by an NFL former president, he said it this way. He said, even 2 years ago, when he was at the Masters breakfast, he could barely walk. He had so much back pain. Tiger could barely walk. So imagine just 2 years ago, Tiger Woods could barely walk, was contemplating retirement. His career was literally over. He was contemplating never playing golf again. And yet, this past Sunday, on Sunday, that's the key, y'all, on Sunday, they call it the greatest comeback in the history of sports. The greatest comeback in the history of sports, because here's a man who went from the pit right back to the pinnacle. Y'all missing it. I want to tell you about another form of a feline animal, not tiger, but I would argue that this is not the greatest comeback in history. I'd argue that it was not tiger who made the greatest comeback in history, but another feline variety. The Lion of Judah made the greatest comeback in history. I want to share with you that I believe that the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, came back from the dead. That is the greatest comeback in history. Because here's the thing. Tiger Woods had back injuries and knee injuries and all these sins of his own, but he was never dead. He was still alive, right? But the Lion of Judah was dead, y'all. He was in a borrowed tomb, dead. And 3 days later, this is key, on a Sunday, he made the greatest comeback in history because our Savior came back from the dead. And because of that, our Master is a champion. Our Master is a champion. He's champion over death. He's champion over the grave. He's champion over the power of sin. He's champion over the penalty of sin. Our Master is a champion. And if you and I have put our faith in Him, we can be champions as well. We can be champions over the grave, champions over death, champions over the penalty of sin, champions over the power of sin, champions over the enemy as well. If you and I have placed our faith in our champion, our Master, Jesus Christ. The greatest comeback of all time is a dead man. Jesus Christ came back to life, the Lion of Judah. Let's pray. God, I'm so grateful on this Sunday that we get to celebrate the resurrected Lion of Judah, the greatest comeback in history. Altered history so much that our calendar even goes before Christ to the year of our Lord. Anno Domino. God, the church was established because of the Lion of Judah who came back to life. God, these Christian schools and hospitals have also been started. And the movement of the church, the body of Christ across racial, cultural, geographic, generational, political lines has been going strong for almost 2,000 years because we serve a resurrected king, the Lion of Judah. God, we're grateful for that. Oh, Master, we're grateful for that. Hallelujah, we're grateful for that. All heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you've never put your faith in Christ, today's the day. If you simply put your faith in Christ, and say, I trust Christ, that he was able to meet God's standard. He's my sin bearer. He took my sin on him and crossed the chasm so I could have a relationship with him. I believe that he died in my place. If that's you today, all heads bowed, eyes closed, just raise your hand there. Just slip your hand there if that's you. If you want to put your faith in Christ today for the first time, anybody hands, I see the hand. Any other hands this morning want to put their faith in Christ? And God, again, we come on this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for this hand that was raised. This person's put their faith in Christ. And God, we rejoice. Let's clap that the angels are rejoicing. That they've gone from condemnation and separation to now being declared innocent, not guilty, vindicated because of Christ. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said,